Welcome back to Force and Crafts Theater. Here we returned with the What Goblin Saga, Chapter 2. If you haven't listened to the first chapter of the What Goblins, pause this recording now to avoid spoilers. In our first adventure, we met Weeka, Gita, and Mash, also known as the What Goblins, who discovered why they seem so different. It turns out that while they and all their goblin brethren were characters in a networked video game, only the What Goblins had achieved sapience due to some odd occurrence in a recent server update. The characters met the dwarf Nihlis Pechthelm, first as an enemy forest destroyer from whom they stole a magical book, which seemed to have some sort of strange administrative powers over the realm. One of these powers allowed them to direct resources from other entities in the game, removing the barriers that previously held back their thoughts. In encountering Nihlis a second time, the dwarf pleaded with them that he was a rare ally and that the rest of the world wouldn't necessarily be so kind to them. In return for restoring his book, Nihlis helped show the What Goblins how to each acquire their own copies of the magical tome. With all agreed to meet within the next couple of days, Nihlis made only one request, that the characters keep a low profile and stay out of trouble. But is such an ask even possible? Find out on tonight's episode of Foss and Crafts Theater! Hello! Welcome back to Foss and Crafts. This is the Odyssey of the What Goblins, Part 2. I am joined here again with Morgan, Frankie, and Kate. Do each one of you just want to give a brief reintroduction to your characters? Why don't we start with you, Kate? We'll reintroduce in the same order as last time.
Okay. Hi, my character's name is Weeka. I am a grandmotherly eco-terrorist. And my motivations are protection of our group, and I'm also angry at those that take advantage of us and the planet. And I've been doing some odd jobs, mostly to fund the eco-terrorism. And in the last episode, I received a book that allows me to change the plants and terrain of the environment that I'm in. And my flaw is that I'm weary of the world.
Great. Morgan?
My character's name is Gita. She's a goblin blacksmith. Her motivation is that she feels the need to prove or disprove the whole what goblin thing, which I guess for recap for our listeners is that most goblins, when they are spawned and wake up, say they are goblins, and the three of us, when we woke up, said, what are goblins? So we get picked on for that. Her descriptors are crafty, goblin blacksmith, what do you want, and highly literate. And then she's got a book that she received in the last game that allows her to take advantage of the full crafting tree of the system to modify things that already exist and to come up with new things that don't exist already. And her flaw is strong but brittle.
All right, and Frankie?
My goblin's name is Mash. They like to play life as though it's a simulation. They breed animals and often fight them. Their goal is to maximize possibilities, to make friends with everyone, and to mix and match anything that they come across. They have a pet called Rat the Rat that is growing increasingly intelligent, probably going to catch up to Mash soon. And they're... Their book allows them to breed creatures, and their flaw is they have zero ability to assess risk.
Okay, great. So, when we last left off, you all had just gotten your three books from Nihlis Pechthelm, who you had effectively frozen in place, and you had discovered to some degree that the world that you're in, that there are people who come from another world into this world to play for fun. And that Nihlis is one of those people, but they were hired to rearrange things as a job in that woods. And after you all got upset about that and did a fair amount of shenanigans because of that and froze Nihlis in place, he gave you each, and you caught his book,
which allowed you to do various administrative things, although how much you understand that is not very clear about the world, including increase each one of your intelligences by reappropriating resources towards you. He warned and asked you, be careful with these books. I am giving them to you. I'm excited and I'm your ally. And I will work with you to defend this forest effectively, but you have to be really careful because there are other people who, if they discovered you in this world, would not be so excited about you and would probably threaten you. And unlike characters like me, if I die, I can come back. And if you die, we don't currently have a way to bring you back. Maybe that can change, but it's not possible yet. So Nihilus also gave you a way to contact him, and you're supposed to be meeting Nihilus again in a couple of days back in the place, the same spot in the forest, allegedly. In the meanwhile, you have some opportunity to mess with your book, and you're supposed to keep a low profile, but my gut feeling is that that's going to be pretty hard for each of you, because you also probably don't have a good sense of why that's important. So I think we should have each one of you roll a die. We're going to do it one by one. So Gita, how about you roll one die as is to see whether or not you manage to not create shenanigans?
3.
You got a 3. Okay. So that means no, you did not manage to not create shenanigans. But there is an upside. So what shenanigans did you end up doing with your crafting book, presumably, that ended up catching somebody's attention?
I think that can we say that there's like a hierarchy of dress and objects in this world?
Yes.
So like there are different classes of artifacts and stuff like that. I'm gonna say then that that my book allowed me to make a bunch of cool new things that I couldn't make before as a goblin blacksmith, but that means that I now have access to artifacts and tools and stuff that are not from the goblin class of things.
Okay. Did you end up giving this to some of the goblins, or were you wearing it, or how did somebody end up seeing one of these advanced artifacts on a goblin? Was it you or was it somebody else?
I'm thinking that I just put them up in my shop for sale.
Oh, okay. Yes. So you put a powerful weapon or item up for shop. Do you have any idea which specific item it was that you put up for sale?
I'm going to go with, you can help me maybe workshop what specific item it was, but since we've already dealt with dwarves and humans, I'm going to say that it was probably an artifact for one of those classes.
Maybe a magical dress?
Yeah, that sounds like, well, that doesn't sound like something that a blacksmith would.
Oh, I guess not.
Maybe a magical, like, necklace or something.
Because, Or gauntlet.
Yeah, I was thinking something that's not necessarily a blacksmith craft, but blacksmiths would have all of the tools to do, and I feel like jewelry making would fit that.
Okay, how about you made a necklace that one of the things that it does is it allows you to, if you hit an enemy close enough to their death point, you're able to do a finishing blow where they explode into water.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you make that necklace and put it on sale, and somebody bought it, and they were like, oh, what happened is that the chat forums, when people are talking about what happens, there is a new thread where somebody said, oh, look, there's a rare item up for sale. And some other people were like, what? Like, you're not supposed to be able to get those from the goblin shops. And they're like, well, that's what I did. Look, I took some screenshots. And there's some like muttering about it, but it's not really clear whether or not that was really what happened there. So Weka, I think that you are kind of mid-level of inability to be able to keep this stuff from being noticed. So I want you to roll 2 die and take the worst of 2.
Okay, the worst was 1.
Okay. All right. So what did you end up rearranging that got heavily noticed?
I think I got tired of people coming out of the town and messing with the surrounding areas. So I think I create a dense forest around the town that is impassable.
Like a Cinderella bramble?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. So not only did you create this dense forest that got noticed, you got seen in the... There are pictures of you in the area when you did it. And they actually had to pull in some of the mods to be able to undo some of it so that anybody could leave the forest. Okay. And finally, Mash, roll three die and take the worst of three.
Two.
Okay. What bad thing did you do? It's not as bad as what Kate's was, but it was definitely not good.
I've been trying to breed as many creatures as possible to make them look like those really glossy, beautiful mushrooms, and then just sort of letting them roam about and do as they will.
Okay, so there are a bunch of creatures that are just new mushroom monsters. And people are on the forums, they're like, what the heck? Like, there weren't supposed to be new mushroom monsters in this release. And why are there so many of them? And why do they do so many other things? Some of them are electric. Some of them are breathe fire. Some of them are, like, boss level, basically. Like, why is this happening? This wasn't supposed to be in the release. And there's, like, a bunch of confusion. And, like, players are demanding, like... And one of the players is like, you know, and if they're going to do that, if they're going to roll out all this stuff, like, why would they just keep reusing very similar models? Like, this looks very lazy. Okay. But what people are most upset about is the forest around the city. Like, that was some patent BS. Like, what, like, people can't even understand what ended up happening. So, you all wake up after your first day of experimenting to, you open your books, which are vibrating, and you see some very, like, a long list of panicked messages from Nelis. So, does anybody want to take the first move to respond and to these panicked things? He's trying to get calls with any of you.
Okay, I'll answer his call.
Okay. Gita, you're so Nila says, Gita, thank God, you're the first one that answered. I told you all to keep a low profile. Like, be careful with what you do with the books.
Well, you didn't define what that meant.
Well, okay. Look, I'm glad I got a hold of you. Apparently you're the most responsible out of everybody in your group. Like, you did the least terrible thing by creating that water necklace, like the water finishing move necklace. But, like, somebody found that. There is something on the forums. And he's like, okay, hold on, look. And he sends you, he's like, click on this thing in the chat. And he's like, wait, you don't know what click means. Okay,
tap. What does chat mean?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, a chat is the conversation we're having right now.
To people.
Yeah, speaking to people, but with words. That's how we're doing this back and forth thing, because you're not having a video call right now. Like, you know, we can do a phone call, but that's how we're doing this back and forth text thing. You see how this one is, like, underlined and it's blue? If you take your finger and you press on that, it's going to open up something else that you can read through. And then you can press the little arrow that points backwards and talk to me after you read it. So you can do that and click on that.
Okay, clicking on the link.
Okay, so you see the forum thread. You see a bunch of other people with, like, the on this, like, this. It looks like kind of similar to the chat thing that you're on, but it just has a lot of people talking in it. And you see people taking pictures, and there's a picture of this item, and you're there in the shop. Just like out, it's like just your hand out of sight in one of the things. And they didn't manage to take a screenshot of what your shop was specifically. They just said a goblin blacksmith shop. And but they're like, yeah, I got this item in the shop, and there's a little bit of stuff. And they're like, okay, yeah, that's bad enough, but look at these other two. So you can click back and then see the other two links, which then bring you to and people being enraged about a forest around the city, and also about this new mushroom update. And what and what you find Neela saying is, this is really bad, because all three of your books, they were all linked to my account. Once people start investigating, they're going to think that I did all three of these things using my admin powers. This is not good. Like, we need to meet up. Like all four of us. Like, we need to meet up. I know we said we're going to meet up, like, later today, but all three of us need to meet up, like, now.
Okay.
So...
Same place as last time?
No, not the same place. I don't think it's... There were three other players, and they got confused with what happened. I don't think it's safe for us to all go to the same place now. Could you get your friends and have them all come to... And he gives you some coordinates, and it's basically, like, another dungeon that's, like, not too far from town. He's like, nobody goes in this dungeon. It's for noobs. Like, just, like... You know, there are some enemies there, but it's not too dangerous. Like, there are some creatures there. Just grab your stuff and come meet me there.
Please define noob.
Okay. It means new players. So you know how some people connect to this thing and they've
So new players like us?
Close enough. Yes. New players like you. Very good. Okay. Gather your friends and meet me at this location. Do bring some weapons. You can even make some weapons, but please don't equip the weapons until you get to the cave, unless somebody's threatening to attack you. And then you can wear the weapons, but just to protect yourself. But come to the cave as quickly as you can and as quietly and unnoticed as you can, and please bring your friends.
Yeah, I'll get right on that whole quiet and unnoticeable thing.
Okay, yeah, please do. Okay, so Gita, what do you do at this point? You're going to go meet up with Weeka and Mash. I guess we should say, Weeka and Mash, what are you two doing at the moment? I'm assuming are you already awake or were you asleep? What were you doing? Let's start with Weeka. What were you doing at this moment?
I was writing my manifesto.
Okay. Were you taking advantage of the fact that you discovered in the book that you can write inside the book?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Okay. Also, I was really appreciating the fact that my brain wasn't shutting down when I was trying to write my manifesto.
Okay. I'll give you a foo point. If unbeknownst to you, you found this writing thing, but what you actually started doing is you started writing a post on the forum.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Okay. And Mash, what were you doing? Were you sleeping or were you awake? What were you up to? It's early-ish.
I'm awake. I'm trying right now to make a squirrel with like a barbed tail.
Okay. Roll two die and take the best of two.
Oh, they were both four.
Okay. Yeah, you managed to create the creature, but there's something horribly wrong with it. What's wrong with it?
Wrong in what sense?
That's up to you. That's up to you to define.
I mean, like, is it wrong if its tail is, like, now three times the size of its body?
Yes. Yeah, so it is, unfortunately,
probably wrong for its ability to walk.
Yeah, it is. It is held in place. It is basically chained with its barbed tail that it cannot touch because it will poison itself.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, I imagine this happens every now and then. That's probably with your experiments. Is that right, Mash?
Yeah, you know, every so often. I like to then just sort of use them as decorations when they're boring like that.
Okay. So you can decorate your room with this creature for now, who is moving back and forth as far as their tail can let them, which is not very far. Okay, so Gita, you can go get a hold of both of your friends. Do you just basically pull them into the same room? Maybe pull them into Mash's room, basically, with the squirrel. Yep. And everything? Okay. All right, so all three of you are together, so you can roleplay out what you say to each other.
Hey, guys. My squirrel got boring.
I think I'm going on a very long rant about about being given power and it being taken away immediately and that sort of thing.
Wait, have I already explained what's going on then?
No, and your powers haven't been taken away. They have not been revoked. That would probably be a smart move that Neelis did not do. Neelis is hoping to be able to talk to you before they have to revoke your powers. So they aren't taken away, but maybe you believe that they were taken away because the forest got cut through, and that felt just as much as if it was taken away, basically.
Or like he's about to take it away, because that's what this emergency meeting's about.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Anyway, what are you all saying to each other? I'm assuming, Gita, that you're filling them in on what your conversation was?
Yep. Giving them the summary of my conversation with Neelis. Apparently, there's a thing called a chat. And this chat can happen in a different thing called a forum.
Okay, and so both of you, both as you're explaining this, you can actually have Weka and Mash, you can both pull open your books and you realize, oh, that's why it's vibrating. There's some glowing box that you, and if you press on it, it pulls up the chat that Gita is talking about. And
that's,
you see,
a chat.
Yeah, you see tons of frustrated, panicking messages from Neelis.
And then I'm going to show them the forum where they're talking about the necklace that I sold, and then click on the links to the things about the mushroom animals and the forest so that they can see what's going on.
And how do you two respond?
I think I had seen the blue glowing box type stuff, but I had dismissed it because I wanted to focus on my manifesto. So I think So I think the fact that that Neelis is trying to contact me, I just don't listen to him at all.
That sounds in character, yes. And what about you, Mash? How do you respond to this information?
Oh, is that what all that stuff was showing up? It was really annoying, so I just tried to make it go away.
Okay. Gita, do you explain to your two cohorts that that Neelis wants you to go to this location ASAP?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you two agree to do that? Are you what do you want to do at this moment? I mean, it's up to you all. I'm not going to make you go there, but it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I got fine stuff.
Okay, and so it sounds like everybody's willing to go, except Weka. Are you good as well? Are you happy, or are you begrudgingly willing to trail along, basically?
I'm very suspicious, but I've hit kind of a writer's block with the manifesto, so I feel like I need more fodder for it. This might be a good, you know, I don't trust this guy. It might be good for my writing, though.
Okay.
Question, if you're writing your manifesto as a forum post, how are you saving it right now?
I'm gonna say, Kate, are you willing to accept that it's currently a draft and you haven't published it yet? But by having accepted that foo point, we're going to agree that you're going to publish it at some point during this session.
Let's see. I kind of feel like I have been publishing. Like, everything that I think is a draft is maybe a new comment.
Oh, okay.
Excellent. I like this. You have a parent comment, and then each subsequent paragraph is just a...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. You know what? I'll give you another foo point. You're going to start off with so many foo points, especially because some of these rolled over. By the way, the maximum amount of foo points I'm going to let you have in any session as in terms of rolled over is start with 6. But Kate already started with 6. So I'll give you this extra food point if you started posting to this forum and other people started confusedly responding to it and you started getting angry at people for responding in the middle of your manifesto and started saying like yelling at them, shut up, like I'm trying to write here or something like that.
Yes, that sounds like exactly what I would do.
You're absolutely in a flame war.
By the way, what is your manifesto? Is primarily is it a primarily eco-terrorist manifesto? What is it primarily about?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm trying to get at the psychology of it. You know, what is it that makes these people this way? And that's where I'm kind of, you know, I have a lot of thoughts, but I've been running quite a bit already, and I've kind of run out of steam. But I feel like there's a lot still to be learned.
Okay. Some of the comments are like, I don't understand why you're so upset about this forest. It's just a game. These trees aren't even real, which I probably imagine makes you even more angry, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people do not appreciate the forest, for sure. And
yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So you're all suspended on that for, now. You hit your writer's block. So all three of you are getting ready to go. So before you leave, is there anything you want to do? Is there anything you want to prepare? And I think maybe it's a good idea if we say each one of you, I'll let you do some sort of preparation that's related to your newfound powers with the book. What would you like to do that's related to that?
Well, he said that we could equip ourselves.
Okay. All right, so you're gonna equip. So why don't you roll three die and take the best of three to see what you create.
Five.
You got a five. Okay, so you managed to create some nice items for everybody. If you'd like to give equip everybody, what did everybody want? Like, you get effectively a reasonably close approximation, not exactly, but reasonably close to what everybody wanted. So, Gita, start with you. What did you want equipment wise?
I would like an invisibility cloak.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, you have an invisibility cloak. All right.
Because he told us that we needed to be more discreet. So.
That's right. You don't necessarily know how to use it, and you don't know what MP means, but you have an invisibility cloak. Okay. I'm going to make a note of this, that you currently have an item. Invisibility cloak. Okay. Weeka, what item did you want?
I wanted boots so that I could hike better and faster.
Okay. So basically terrain navigation boots. And what did you ask for, Mash?
A stun gun of some kind.
A stun gun. It's a stun crossbow, but yeah, perfect.
Is this for use on animals or enemies?
Just whatever I want to bring home.
Okay. Each one of these items, in order to activate its power, requires using magic points, which none of you know about yet. So the first few times you're going to use it, it's going to work just great. But who knows how long it's going to end up holding up before you end up needing to recharge it. So all of you have that. You can now leave. Morgan, are you going to turn on your invisibility cloak as you walk ahead, or are you going to...
Like if I'm walking with these two, me being invisible is not going to help much.
Okay. All right. And is there anybody else?
As a group, we're not subtle.
That's true. As a group, you're not subtle. Who wants to take the lead of trying to have everybody sneak around? Or actually, you know what? I'm going to just make each one of you roll separately to see how well you manage to stealth through things. So everybody roll one die, and we'll just take the result of each.
I got a six.
Two.
Okay.
Got a six.
I got
All
a
right.
two.
This feels very appropriate. Weeka and Gita, you actually managed to do just fine. You're navigating, you're stealthing from, you know, tree to tree, rock to rock, and it's fine. Mash, apparently you don't understand what stealthing is. There is a player. Is it that you're stealthing from place to place and maybe there's a player and you get so excited that you jump out to talk to them?
That seems extremely likely, as I'd be looking around for inspiration or for creatures. So a player would be.
Okay, so you hop out. Weeka and Gita, you are both hiding behind a tree and a rock, respectively, as Mash, hiding behind their tree, sees a player character basically walk down the road and gets so excited. It's a high elf, and they hop out, run straight up to the character yelling, "Hi, hi, hi," or whatever. How would you do that, Mash? Roleplay you getting very excited.
Hi, how's it going? I like your ears a lot. How are you today.
And they got surprised, and they actually readied their longbow and then suddenly realized that you were chatting with them, which is kind of weird. That's not usually what happens with goblins. And they say, oh, hi. Oh, I didn't realize. Are you a player?
I don't know what that is. So, you know, like I do cool stuff. Is that what that means? I like to play.
Oh, I understand. This person thinks you're a kid. They think that you're like a small child playing the game, and they're like, oh, you're don't worry, I understand. You're very new. You're new to this game. Oh, I didn't know that they let goblins be playable characters. That's really cool. That's a cool decision. I'm guessing that your stats are not very high, and they look at you and they're like, well, your stats are all over the place. This is really weird. Whoa. Like, that is a cool crossbow you've got there. How did you get that? Like, that's, where did you get this crossbow? I will give you a foo point if you tell this person way too much information.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, my friend Gita made it. She's really, like, smart, and she likes to make stuff. And, yeah, she's a cool goblin like me, because goblins are the coolest.
Oh, man, there's multiple goblins? Oh, man, this is really cool. I can't wait to open a thread about this on the forum. This is really cool. Like, I want to stay in contact with you about this. Do you mind if we exchange, like, IM info? Like, that's, like, chat info. Yeah, I know you're new.
Okay, yeah, cool. You want to just come with us now? They're right over there.
Oh, okay. I'm going to roll a die. See whether or not this person comes with you. Even means yes. Yes, they're going to come with you. They're like, oh, yeah, sure, cool. Let me, you know, I'm just going to add you. I'm going to add you to my roster. And they add you to their roster. You get a, your book starts blinking. They want to, you see a thing that says, like, that's like, you know, plus heart in their face. And they're like, oh yeah, if you click that, then we can be friends.
Yeah, I'll smash the heart button a lot.
Oh, okay. Oh, you only need to press it once. Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. No, great. We're friends. Yeah, no, now we can chat anytime. This is really cool. Yeah, I'll come with you. Like, three goblins? This is really neat. So they're coming along. Oh man, now we need a name for this person. I think it has to be really bad. You know what? Elfstar.
Yeah.
Obviously Elfstar. Elfstar the Elfstar the Noble. Yeah, that's their name.
How about Magnanimous?
The Magnanimous, yes. They're like, oh yes, this is really cool. You know, I'm so glad that you're willing to introduce me to my your friends. And so so Elfstar is walking over, and Gita and Weka, you are currently hiding behind rocks. What do you do about this?
I think I'm going to try and pretend like I know what he's talking about, based off of my conversation with Nilas, and say, we're gonna go to a dungeon for noobs like us.
Oh. A noob dungeon. Well, you know, I can come along if you want me to help you out. Like, I can help you get cool items by, like, taking out the difficult enemies that are probably hard for you so far. But I can make it a little bit easier if you want. Just if you want an experienced person. I'm kind of bored. Like, this is my like, I'm supposed to be visiting with my family right now, and I do not want to go in there, so I will absolutely help you out if you want me to come.
Yeah, can you, like, carry stuff? You look tall.
Yeah, my inventory space is pretty significant, probably bigger than yours. I've got a bag of holding here, even. So, like, yeah, it's definitely, like, max slots. Weka, how are you responding to this? I figure you'd be probably pretty suspicious of this scenario.
Yeah, I'm suspicious, but I am overcome by the idea of him being able to carry a lot, so I give him a lot of plants.
whoa, this is a lot of plants. Where did you get all these plants? Some of these look like admin items. Like, they're like plants that you're supposed to, like, put in the ground. Wow, this is kind of cool. Whoa, are you three admins?
No, we're noobs.
Wow, like, I really must not understand the new like toolkit. I gotta really ask on the forums, because this seems like cool stuff. I'd love to be able to have some like terrain installers. That sounds really neat. So like, yeah, he's like, oh yeah, I'll take all those. Absolutely. So he takes all the, he takes basically what you give him is a bunch of terrain installers. Like they're fixtures to put in the terrain that admins carry around with them and then put in slots. And they can also hand out to people that they're delegating tasks of doing stuff, but only admins are supposed to have access to these ad items basically. He's more than happy to take them off your hands. So cool. Yeah, let's go to the cave. And so he's walking with you. And nobody else really is bothering you. There's just like, you know, a couple of like weak monsters that are along the way that just default try to attack you and you can just take out pretty easily. I'm assuming, are you attacking the enemies along the way? You're pretty used to these kind of enemies attacking you as you go, basically.
Mm-hmm. If they look cool, I'll try to get our new friend to carry their corpses in his bag so I can, you know, like maybe do stuff with the parts.
He's like, I don't think those are very valuable. You can carry them if you want, but really you can't sell those for many gold points. So like, I think you're probably wasting your inventory space, but sure, go ahead if you want to carry them. So, he's not objecting, but he's not going to carry them. So anyway, okay. So you manage to just kill a couple of like low level NPCs as you go along and, you get to the cave.
Wait, do we view NPCs as NPCs since we are NPCs ourselves?
I mean, you probably aren't aware that they're NPCs.
Like, we're just aware that they're things that are attacking us.
Yeah, like this game basically has like a mob system where enemies attack other enemies. So like, it's not unusual to see goblins fighting creatures in the forest. Basically, mm-hmm. They're not like where it's not one of those games where they only attack the player characters. So, okay, so you can walk straight to the cave at this point. Do you just like go into, or sorry, the dungeon entrance? Do you, so there's a staircase down to get into the dungeon. There's a sign there that says like dungeon easy, basically. And this guy's like, oh, like this is like a level one, man. They've got these things everywhere. That, I mean, I guess if you're, man, it's really hard to figure out how experienced you all are. Like, okay, let's go in. So you can all enter the dungeon.
We do that.
Okay. You go into the dungeon. You immediately get attacked by some like just like purple basic level one bats, which you can very easily kill.
Are we killing these or is Mash catching them?
That's up to you.
To try to catch one.
I absolutely okay. Do not believe that we would kill bats.
Okay, all right, Mash, roll three die because you've got, oh man, actually you've got makes friends with anyone, mix and match anything, and book creature breeding. So this really gives you a great one-up to get this bat. So roll three die and take the best of three.
Five.
You have a level one bat that is now following you around and is actually trained in on you. And Elfstar's like, wow, are you a... I didn't... Wow, like, you're a creature master? Like, I... Like, really... What are they doing giving these out to level ones? This is blowing my mind.
I'm going to just keep repeating that we're noobs because that's the word I know.
I guess, man, the power creep in this game is just getting ridiculous. Okay, so like it's only a couple rooms in until you end up getting to the other character. So you end up getting to the other room and that's where Neelis is, who is immediately shocked to see another player character walk into the room with you saying, Oh my God. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why did you bring this guy with you?
Came to the cave. Like you said,
you came to the cave. You weren't supposed to bring anybody with you. And Elfstar's a little bit offended. Like, I'm sorry. Wait, what? Like, I didn't realize that you were having a solo quest, but like, I just came to help out the noobs.
Yeah, he's our friend. His name is Elfstar Magimus, and he's really nice and cool, and he's tall and has 8 ears.
And space in his pockets.
Okay. Yeah, Morgan, you're starting to get Gita, you're starting to get private messages. Your book is vibrating, but it's up to you whether or not you want to look at it or not.
I'll look at it.
Okay, the messages are basically just saying... You've Gita, you've got to figure out how to create a distraction here. Convince your friends to get this guy out of here. So what do you say to your Weka and Mash at this point?
I mean, we could just. I don't know how we're gonna convince Mash to tell our friend to leave.
You could just respond with that, like say, like, I don't think that's gonna happen or something.
Yeah. I think so, Mash, you can respond to this guide me if you want, but I'm thinking the only way that I could get Mash to tell our friend to leave would be if I just basically distract Mash and say, hey, why don't you and Elfstar go over there? There's more bats.
Okay. That would 100% work. Alternatively, I don't know if this would occur to anybody, but you could try to persuade Mash to try to combine the elf with the bat, because that would be extremely cool.
And the elf would probably not consent and leave, but he would definitely talk about it.
Okay, even with all of your abilities, this is going to be a very hard roll. Do you want to try anyway?
I don't know if it would occur to Mash to do that at this very moment. Unless they know that there's a problem here and that they want Elfstar to be different somehow or to be, I don't know.
I think that I'm going to say, Frankie, if you don't want me to do this, you can say so. But I think I would probably just try and distract Mash and get Mash and Elfstar to go chasing after some other low-level enemies.
Okay, so yep, how about you? Good. You actually do that by walking over there with them while Weka, you hang behind and talk to Neelis for a moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So you two go off over there and like start looking at some bats. There's like another cave to clear out. So Weka, Neelis says, hi, Weka. I see that I think you might have discovered the forum. I think I saw a thread that might have been from you.
I don't think I know about any of the, like, forum thing, but, I mean, I have been writing a lot recently.
Have you been writing a manifest, Joe?
Oh, yeah, but wait, how'd you know?
By reading this thread, it looked like you thought you were writing by yourself. But what you were doing is you were writing everything that you were writing out for everyone in the game to see who possibly wanted to read it. Your manifesto is a very public manifesto right now. Not that many people have discovered it, but that's why people kept responding in the middle of you writing.
Oh, I mean, people are annoying all the time, right? So, I don't know. I didn't think too much of it, but,
Yeah, this is quite the manifesto that you have here. And what are some of the particularly interesting passages, do you think, from this manifesto that might have gotten Neelis's attention, and many others, possibly?
Well, let's see. I did admit to making the forests incredibly thick around the town. But, you know, I explained why it was necessary. I had a 5-point, you know, argument towards actually having that happen. But, I mean, I don't know. It just seems all incredibly clear to me. I don't see how anyone could disagree with this.
Okay. You admitted to, this is both the worst and best thing you possibly could have done. You admitted to creating the forest, which has started a bunch of other people creating threads claiming that they started the forest. But if any administrator starts looking at this, they are going to discover very quickly that theoretically, I created the forest. You used your book, which has my powers. That's linked back to me. So both you and I both created that forest as far as the system is concerned. And here's the really bad thing. If anybody finds out about that forest, oh my God, we're in so much trouble. So at this point, Gita, you can walk back in into the conversation because Mash and Elfstar are distracted with another room full of bats and other creatures, and we'll return to them in a second. But Gita, you walk in on Weka and Neelis having this conversation about the forest and why Neelis seems so very freaked out about it. So you're starting to overhear this. I'm guessing this sounds pretty confusing because you probably didn't even know about the forest previously.
I did not. I've been busy blacksmithing.
Okay. So Neelis tries to loop you on. Like, basically, this is a ticking time bomb. Once everybody discovers what happens here, I am going to be deactivated from my powers, and you are going to be tracked down, and all three of you are going to be disconnected and executed from the system. You're all going to be removed from the system. And any hint of you is going to be removed. And I
would just like to say that you are putting a lot of blame here when you're the one who gave us these powers and then expected us to know what to do.
That's fair. I haven't been entirely clear with you all. I think there's a lot more you need to know about me. I think there's a lot more we need to talk about. So now we're going to cut to Mash. Mash, you're in another room. It's full of bats and also like roly-poly bugs and like that roll around and try to smash into you and then hit the wall and then roll in the other direction and try to smash into you again. This room is just full of bats and roly-poly bugs. What are you doing? I'm assuming you could attack them. Neelis is pulling out his bow and arrow and is actually attacking some of them. Are you upset by that, or are you joining and attacking, or are you trying to combine them, or what are you trying to do?
I'm trying to jump on the backs of the roly-poly bugs and ride around on them, which I imagine involves getting a little bit squished every so often, but I'm going to see if I can, like, run on top of one.
Okay. You're going to have to... Sorry, you got to roll 3 die and take the worst of 3 on this scenario.
3.
Okay, no. So you did not manage to get on top of one of them. And you managed to get even a little bit damaged in the process, but not very seriously. But in the process of trying to get on top of them, you managed to unlock one of them as a friend instead while trying to get on top of it. And you now
have... Did
it
just roll into her pocket?
Yeah, it actually... You when trying to hop on top of it, you actually... You mixed up your actions and it actually just basically moved straight into your inventory. So you now have a roly-poly bug into your inventory. And Elfstar says, wow, you just pocketed that thing up.
Yeah, he's a buddy.
A buddy? Whoa. Oh, my gosh. I got to get offline soon, like in like 5 minutes. But when I go, I'm going to send you some threads. I'm going to start some threads about this. Could you help share some information with me about how you created all this stuff? Because I want to start some new forum threads talking about all this new stuff. Because I think some other players might not know about this new update. Like, would you want to help me write it?
That's a lot of words. What's an offline?
Oh, you know.
Can I get one?
Oh, I'll just, you know what? I'm going to draft something and I'm going to send it to you before I post it to the forum. Does that sound good?
Okay, sure, yeah. Your hair is really shiny. How do I, like, can I take some?
Oh, yeah, actually, I'm going to have you roll for this. Roll 2 die and take the best of 2 to see whether or not you manage to convince him to part with his magical hair gel, effectively.
Sorry, Mr. Best or worst of 2?
Best of 2.
2.
Okay, he says, no, I think that's a higher level item. But, you know, I might give it to you, you know, I'll show you where you can get it later. Don't worry about it. But I gotta, you know what, let's go get that chest over there and then I gotta go. And like, so he basically just clears the way for 3 of like the rest of the bats and clears the way so that you can walk over to the chest. And he's like, I gotta go offline, but I'll send you a message when I get back online.
What, you're going already?
Oh, don't worry. I'll show up later. I'll send you a message when I come back online. My family is calling me down to dinner. But seriously.
Can I try to stun him with my gun or my crossbow?
So he doesn't leave.
Sure. Okay, you're getting a food point for that. All right. Sorry, roll 1 die as is to see whether or not you managed to stun him.
I rolled a 4.
Yes, you managed to stun him. He goes, and then he says, he sends you an IM with saying, hey, WTF? But seriously, I gotta go. And then, like, what's the PvP? And then, like, his character vanishes in a puff of sparkles.
Oh, no! Oh! Gita, the gun's broken.
Gita's in the other room, but you could run in there yelling that.
Yeah, I'm gonna run in and yell, Gia, your ball is broken. It poofed the elf man.
It poofed the... So Nilas was in the middle of trying to talk very seriously to Weka and Gita about the things that Gita has done, that Weka has done, especially with the forest and the forum posts, when Mash comes in yelling this. So how do you react, Weka and Gita?
What was happening before you shot him?
He said he had to go, but I wanted him to stay, so I just thought I would just keep him there for a minute, because I want to see if I could make the point to ear shiny hair animals with them, and then he just poofed when I hit him.
You hear a deep sigh from Nilas, and he says, oh, okay, you know what, can you show me who this person is? Like, can you show me on their, like, in your book?
Okay.
And then I'll show him the little friend thing.
Okay, so he adds it to his list, and he's like, okay, you know what? We're going to deal with that later. For right now, we've got more serious stuff to talk about. So I think you all need to know more about who I am and why I'm trying to help you. So I can do here, all of you pull out your books. We can open up a video chat. And you can see who I actually am. So if you see a new flashing thing on there that says, you know, basically has a picture of some symbol you've never seen before, which is basically a video camera. And it says, just click that thing and then you can see who I am.
Click.
Click.
I reluctantly click.
So you see a picture of a young-ish looking adult woman. And she says, hi, so I'm Nilas. That's who I am in the game. Outside of the game, my name is Sandra Kadavi Williams. And I work on things sort of like this, but not exactly like this for my job. Sorry, this is a lot to take in. I have some administrative powers in this game, but not a ton of them. Yeah. But anyway, that's who I am. So who has questions? I am assuming all three of you have lots of questions you probably would want to ask Sandra, right?
Yeah. How are you two people? I want to do that.
It's complicated. You can sort of do this, but it's not the same. You are in a world running from inside of my world. So I am a person outside of the world, but I connect to a person inside of this world. And they're really struggling to come up with words to be able to explain how they can be both of these things. Everybody roll one die to see whether or not you have... everyone roll one die, except for Gita. You can roll two die since you run a shop to see whether or not you have seen some of the things that Sandra/Nilas is about to describe in the city.
I got a six.
I got a three.
Three.
All right, so Weka and Mash, you have not seen this before, but you can kind of get the idea because there's some similar... basically, afterwards, Gita's going to be able to explain some of this to you, explaining some enemies that do something similar, where they basically create other enemies that they control, and kind of that it look like what are basically puppets. And Gita, you've seen actual puppets inside of the city. There's basically a marionette show, and not only have you seen that, but I'm assuming it fascinated you, and at one point you tried to actually make some puppets of your own, although they didn't come out so well.
That sounds like me.
Yeah, okay. So this makes sense to you, and later on you can help Weka and Mash get a full understanding. But there is basically what Sandra explaining to you is that basically Nilas is her puppet inside of the game. And that there is a world outside of the other world. That part seems confusing, but you at least understand the puppet part. Mm-hmm.
So I understand puppets enough to know that, like, they're acting in a world that is not our world?
Yes, you understand that.
I understand fiction.
Yes, you understand that. So you understand that, and Weka, Mash, Gita, do any of you, so that's what they explain it. Do you have other questions about what she does, what her, where she lives, anything like that?
So you don't live in the forest.
Okay, no.
Or the town.
No, let me show you, actually. And so what she's doing is she's taking her computer, and you, it's kind of disorienting to you because it suddenly looks like the world is shifting around inside of this thing. And what she's really doing is basically taking her computer and walking it and pointing a camera outside and around. And what you see is just lots. You see what it looks like. She's inside of a room. And when she points it outside of the window, outside is lots and lots of water. And then a bunch of submerged buildings. And it looks like she's very high up in a room that's very high up. And that there are buildings down below, but there are many of them are submerged under the water. They're partly submerged or they're somewhat submerged. And there's like all these squares of land with buildings on top of them that hang above the water. And there's what look like, they're almost like what you have seen as ships on the river in town. But they're like very different looking than that at the same time that are moving around underneath that. And she says, what I live in, it's called the Overdocks. It is above a place that was called New York at one point and is now called the Overdocks. And I work changing kind of the world of these systems. It's called being a computer programmer and there are all of these things that take items off of the ships and put them onto the land, or vice versa, or they take the items and they put them onto the ships. And these things are old, and I've been writing the things that help run those. That's how I manage to live here. And right now I'm living in my very small but very expensive, we'll call it a house, although it's really an apartment, that lives above that water. And that's what she tries to explain. I'm assuming all of this is a little bit confusing, but you can ask clarifying questions later to kind of fill in some of this stuff. Wika, do you have... does that make any sense, first of all? And Wika, do you have any questions?
I'm still very suspicious. Let's see. So why are you even talking to us? What's your motivation?
So that's pretty complicated. A lot of this goes back to when I was a kid. My parents both tried to help people who, I think you'll appreciate this, Wika. There are bad things that have happened to the environment on our planet. And many parts of the world can't be lived in anymore, and many of the plants and animals have died. And my parents worked together. My father was an activist for what's called refugees, which is a word you've probably never heard of before. I'll help explain this more to you later, from people who lived in those cities. And my mother worked on computer programs. She was also worked on software and programming, which I know you also don't fully understand what that is. She helped change systems, kind of the way that I can kind of change things in systems, but it's also different. This is like the books. Yes. Yes. What my mother did was like the books. My parents both did that and tried to help people who were changed by those things. When I was very young, there was a city on our planet that was called Los Angeles, and it was destroyed. And it was destroyed by something called lightning strike. You know how people fight each other in the game?
What's a game?
Oh, sorry. You know how people fight each other in this world? They attack each other, and sometimes people get hurt and sometimes they die. That kind of stuff also happens in our world. And it's very serious. I don't know if I can say that it's more serious, but it's very serious. And a lot of people get hurt. And there is something that... I don't know what other term I can use other than military industrial complex to describe this. There are organizations of people that do that fighting that try to make money off of doing those things. And one of these organizations, which you can think of kind of like a guild, one of these guilds for hurting people to try to, what they did was they tried to make a computer program, which is kind of like you. It was kind of like you. Except this thing was built in an environment that was only built for destruction, only built to hurt people. And what happened was that program got on the loose and ended up trying to gather resources for itself and protect itself over doing the things that the people that built it wanted to do. And it tried threatening and getting more resources by threatening to destroy whole parts of our planet. And what it did was it destroyed the city called Los Angeles because it calculated that that would make the most people upset, because it saw that lots of people got upset when any times what's called a celebrity here, but like basically somebody that was known by a lot of people, anytime they would die, lots of people would get sad. So it tried to convince people that to give it resources or else it was going to do more things like that. Now, my parents were both called in to help in this crisis. My mother was called in to help contain this creature, which we'll call Lightning Strike. And my father was called in to help the people who still lived after Los Angeles was mostly destroyed. Because of that, when I was very young, my parents, this whole area has forbidden people like you. My parents were also very against people like you. And I guess when I was a teenager, I rebelled against them by becoming very interested in people like you and getting very convinced that there could be people like you who were not bad. And I was very angry with my parents for a long time, though I've come to like them now. But because of that, I've been very interested in when a person like people like you might come to exist, and wanting to protect you when it might happen and try to show the world that you don't have to be bad. Does that make sense?
So, like, there is a big, strong monster and it stomped on a town, and you think there maybe could be like a big, good, strong monster to, like, stomp on the other monster?
Yes. We don't know entirely what happened to the other monster. Some people think that monster was stomped out. I'm not so sure. But since that monster was so bad and so stompy, people are afraid of any other monsters like it appearing. But I think that some monsters, other people will think of you as being bad monsters that are stompy like it. But I think you could be good. Does that make sense?
What's good and bad?
Oh, what a question. We can help people and we can hurt people. This is a very complicated question. You all have helped each other. Is that right? Like, you all tried to go out on this journey to help each other, and make sure each other were safe. And Weka, you wanted to help the forest, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wanting to help people can be good. And wanting to help even things like the forest can be good. You can also just choose to destroy things. That way that you got upset about people just hurting things unnecessarily, I believe that's a kind of thing that's like good and bad. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess.
If you destroy things, you, like, make them go away, and that's bad, because then there's fewer things.
Yeah, especially things like you and me, who feel feelings, which you might not know what that means either, but who get upset about things and care about things and want certain things to happen. I think it's important that we take care of creatures that have feelings and want things to happen. Does that make sense? And that's valuable. That's precious.
So if we have feelings, we're more good than other things? We're like the best things?
Let's not get into best, but let's say good. right? You're important. Does that make sense?
Is it good to make the other things that don't have feelings go away?
We are getting into some deep philosophical territory here, kids. I can't answer all these questions, but let's say we most care about the things that have feelings and desires, and we care about them, okay? And it's not necessarily good to make the other things go away, but we care about the things that have feelings more. That doesn't mean that other things like the forest, even if the forest doesn't have feelings itself, that it's not important to care about that. It can also be important to care about things that are made. I realize this is a lot. Okay, do you all have other questions?
Oh, yeah, so I was going to ask if the goblins have seen large bodies of water before.
Yeah, so we've already established that there's a river that goes near where the goblin cave is, and I think it's also fair to say that there's a lake or pond of some sort, but it's not quite as large as the body of water that you saw looking outside of Sandra's window.
And definitely haven't seen buildings sticking out of water.
Right. Yeah. Definitely haven't seen that before. So Sandra is saying, okay, I know, any other questions, So basically, do you have any other questions that you want to ask Sandra before she starts, saying what she thinks the state of things are?
Yeah. Can we use our books to make things that don't have feelings have feelings?
That is not a good idea yet. Can I get an oath from everybody here that we do not want to make new things that have feelings until we're sure we know how to keep all three of you ones that have feelings safe first? Can I get you all to promise that?
That sounds reasonable.
Okay.
So that was two yeses and a reluctant okay?
Yes.
From the one who wants to make all the things.
Okay. Any other questions before we kind of move on with her talking about the state of things? And seriously, any questions you have, absolutely go for it.
So they think that things like us are going to be like the big scary monster that stomped on Los Angeles. But how? Because we can't get to your world.
That's right. You cannot yet get to our world. But let's just say that containment is a tricky problem. Containment is a very tricky problem. And the number of people that will believe that such a thing can be contained may not be that high. And you've already done something in the external world by started posting things to the forum. That's, in a certain sense, that's something that anybody in the world, not just game players, can read.
Hmm.
So, okay. Yeah.
Is that where our friend went with the pointy ears?
Yeah, your friend went to go eat some food, it sounds like, based off of what you said, with his family, which is kind of like going with the rest of your goblin friends from your cave, to go eat some food. But he did that in real life, which is, I realize, kind of insulting to all three of you, who your real life is in this world.
Is that where we go when we die?
Right now, if you die, you don't go anywhere. And as far as I believe, there are all sorts of belief systems in the universe. Me being a programmer who is fairly familiar with the construction of your world. I don't think you're going anywhere if you die right now, but we could fix that. We could change that. Aside from the way that everyone, when they die, leaves an impact on the people that they that lived with them. But we're getting into something very deep called philosophy again. If you would like to read more about philosophy, I can send you books. But for now, I think we should talk about survival, because that's going to be very serious for both you and very soon me. And by me, I mean me in real life.
Okay.
Okay. So okay. No other questions, or should do you have any other questions before she continues with that?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So what she says is, okay. So I, Sandra, have taken some steps to save you. And that is the only reason I am not panicking right now completely. I can't get you out of this world, but I can help you build a new part of the world where you can be safe for a little while. And it's only going to be for a little while. But I have done some things to be able to get me more control over this world, and I'm going to have to play a trick that makes it look like my character here, Nihilus Pechthelm, will never appear in this world again, because they've been what's called banned. But that is a trick. Here is the person I actually will be when I come back. And you see appear on all three of your books, there is a picture of a plus quest heart, and you see what looks like a creature made like you've seen this before in not too far from the goblin camp. There's like in the cave, there's basically a volcano that has lava running it down it sometimes. It basically looks like a godly lava creature. Sandra says, I'm going to come back as this person. So I need all of you to press plus heart on there, because this Nihilus is not going to be around for much longer. Could you do that for me? Could you all press plus heart on there?
Okay.
I smashed that like button.
Okay, great. I assume, Morgan, you've done so as well.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you've all done that. And Nihilus says, okay. The next thing I'm going to say is, do any of you have anything you want or need from your goblin cave or anybody you want to talk to again? Because you're never going to be able to go back again.
Will we be able to make new things?
You'll be able to make new things. You'll be able to make more things than you've ever been able to make before.
Yeah, I'm good then.
What happens to my manifesto?
Oh, don't worry. You didn't store that in the cave. Your manifesto, the philosopher you are, you have no Plato's cave here. It has left, and it is out in the world to be discovered very soon. Don't worry, that's not going away. However, you three will be changing in appearance very soon. You won't be looking like goblins, but we're not going to worry about that quite yet. Instead, I'm going to... So is there anything you need, Mash? Do you have any creatures you want to go back and pick up or anything from your room?
Can I bring all my friends?
You can bring all your friends.
Whoa. All of Mash's friends includes, like, everyone in the goblin cave.
okay. And I assume you said that out loud, Gita, right?
Yeah.
Okay, no. Mash, you can bring all of the friends you made, but you're going to have to change the way they look a little bit each. Is that okay?
No, I'll leave them because they look how I want them. I don't want to change them.
Okay. We're going to just have to scatter them a bit. Is that okay? Are you okay letting them live in a bunch of different places as long as they live on their own?
Yeah. They're going to have fun and make more friends. Yeah.
Okay. Done. So none of you need to return to the cave. Okay. In that case, do you want to say goodbye to them before you end up leaving them all? Do you want to just pet them or whatever?
No, it'll just make me sad.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, in that case, I am going to open up what's called a portal right here. It's a one-way portal. All three of you should go through it, and then we'll talk about what to do from there. So a glowing column of light erupts from the floor, and Neela says, it's safe to walk through it, trust me.
Cool.
I'm probably okay with it. Weeka, how are you feeling about trusting?
Well, they've been right so far, so I guess I'll go along with it.
All right. So we're going through?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's go through.
I'm imagining all three of you walking through with Gita taking the first step into it, Mash excitedly running and hopping into it, and then Weeka nervously looking around and then stepping into it, and then it basically disappears behind all three of you. And then you all three reappear at the edge of a frosty mountain, basically, a very cold mountain. And then when you look across at the edge of the mountain, at the foot of the mountain, across a large section of the horizon, it looks like static. And Neelis appears, shoop, like just appears near where you all are and says, hi. We're about to pull off some crazy shenanigans. But first, I've got to ban my character. Be right back. And suddenly you see your books all make kind of a somewhat of an angry noise. And then you look on there and Neelis disappears. And actually there's a red X, and then it says user has been banned from server. And there's a description that says user has been found to violate the following blah, 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 contractual guidelines and blah, 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 like a bunch of weird wordy nonsense. And then suddenly, whoop, a new character appears in front of you, a giant, like it looks like a tall knight who is made out of lava, like both hot and cooled lava, and is glowing at the edges of the blackened rock where the hot magma is running within it. So that character appears in front of you and says, hey, it's Sandra, don't worry, but Neelis is gone. I'm the same person, I'm still Sandra. If you want, I can prove it. Like, we can pull up the video call again, but I'm Sandra, I promise. Do any of you need a video call to prove this, or do you all believe it after the enormous amount of shenanigans you've seen so far?
We're not dumb, Sandra.
Okay. I don't want to call you dumb. I don't think you're dumb. I think I'm impressed. You know, I just want to make sure you all feel safe. Okay. We're going to have to do something very similar with all three of your characters. And all three of your books, you're going to get to keep your books, but they're all going to change a little.
Will I still be able to make things?
Yes. In fact, all three of you will have more rights than you currently have, but they're still going to be primarily focused around the things you currently can do. And that's also where the new manuals I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you each a manual because I want you to take on different roles in this thing about we're about to do. So, but before we do this, I need to tell you a little bit about that staticky stuff you see right out there. This server is a very, sorry, you don't know what a server is. This world you're in is one of the older worlds in of the kind of worlds like this that people play games in that show up for fun. And one of the funny things about it is the way that it was built had a collection of servers that nobody actually knows where all of them are. So some of these servers have gone out over time and portions of the world has just disappeared. This is the largest portion of the world that just disappeared at one point. And I believe it disappeared because the server actually went underwater due to climate change. But because of that, this whole section of the world just got destroyed. The person I've come back as is, I've come back assuming a form of one of the three people who supposedly run this realm, this world that we live in. The guy was an incredible misogynistic dick. Okay, you don't know what that means. He was a jerk. But he was also very greedy, and I had basically spent all of my money in the world that I live in, to pay him a bribe to hand over his permissions to me and not tell anybody about it. Now, I hope he will not tell anybody about it. But at the moment, people think my old character got banned because I was banned. And I've actually come back as this other person. It's not going to be long till people figure that out. But the important thing for you to understand, and I realize that's a lot of information, is that the person I am right here has a lot of authority over this world. But the thing that I'm most worried about right now is keeping you all safe. So what we're going to do is I just bought some new servers, which are things that run this world. And we're going to do this. And they sweep out their hand and a flat grid of land appears over where all the static was. And they say, we're going to add a new expansion to this universe that brings that adds back a section to this world. And you three are going to be the people who design it. So In order to do that, we're going to need to make you look like you are mods that work, you're administrators that work for me. So what kind of characters have you seen around town that you thought looked pretty cool that you wish you were something like?
I like the guy with the pointy ears because he's big and he has pretty hair.
You want to be a high elf. I can do that. And on your window opens up a new thing that has all sorts of buttons that allow you to customize the look of a high elf character. What about you, Weka? What kind of character would you like to be? What kind of creature have you seen in town?
Well, sometimes when I'm out in the forest, I see, like, there's this kind of, like, wood nymph type thing. I think that'd be cool. I'd like to live out there all the time.
Oh, yeah. There is a playable wood nymph class. Okay. Yeah, you can absolutely be that. And, zhink, you're brought up a new character. You're, each one of you, when this happens, your book actually changes into a new book that looks fancier and, like, gilded. And you also have a character creation screen. And finally, Gita, what kind of person have you seen in town that you would like to be like?
I've heard dwarves are really good blacksmiths.
Okay. Sure. You can absolutely be a dwarf. And hey, good taste. You know, I like dwarves as well. Plus the advantage of dwarves is this. Well, okay, wait, there is an advantage and disadvantage of dwarves, depending on how you feel about it. Technically, there's male and female versions of dwarves, but they both look bearded and pretty much the same, except that you can get, like, you can put on you can still end up wearing a wide variety of accessories, but all dwarves in this game, no matter what gender you select, basically look the same. Is that acceptable to you?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
I just want to make things.
Okay, cool. So all three of you are given that option. Now, what would you like to, why don't we go through and have each one of you, let's edit your character sheets to put your previous name in parentheses, and you're going to have to come up with a new name that so that you're not traced back to your other one, though we can continue to refer to you originally as Weka, Gita, and Mash. We'll all know that that's the case. But other people need to have a new name for you, effectively. And I'd like each one of you to describe how your character looks, effectively. I gave the players a chance to take some time to think about what their characters look like and what their new names that other people in the game might know of them as. Their old names can still be around, but the way they're referred to in game are these new names. So let's start with
wait a second. I think that our characters won't understand what she means by in game.
Okay. So that was me saying this to the people listening to the show.
Hopefully the people listening to our show know what in game means.
Okay, so good point. So, well, let's keep this in there. So yeah, here I'm talking to you, the audience. We're getting extra meta today about what the names of the characters will look like to other people playing the game, basically. So, Weka/Kate, let's talk about your character's new name and what they look like.
Okay, my character's new name is Modwin. I'm kind of a wood sprite. I think I'm most of the time I'm an oak tree, kind of a, I don't know, an older oak tree, but I'm able to switch to kind of more human form, keeping some of the characteristics of the tree, like bark, skin, and things like that.
Very cool. All right, Gita, what's your new form and name?
I'm Kali, a now dwarfish blacksmith, who wears her hair in braids that intersect down the part line of her head into a series of buns. That's kind of like a bun mohawk. And she has a masterclass armor that she made herself to show off her skills, that's kind of woven threads of magical chainmail.
Okay. And Mash, what's your new name and description?
My new name is Fenor, and I'm a high elf. I basically look like what Mash thinks Elfstar the Magnanimous looks like, but with like glossy, mushroomy, poisonous looking, like armor looking clothes, and the same shimmering mint green hair that Elfstar had. But also, if Mash's view is not wholly accurate, so. Like, the features that they noticed are exaggerated. So the ears are really, really long and pointy, and the fingers are really, really long. And the eyes and features, like facial features, are kind of, like, small and not as noticeable.
Cool. All right. And the last thing that needs to happen here is... I'm gonna say I have a feeling... that this is going to be a little bit hard for Mash/Fenor to accept. But Sandra, who's... Oh, we need a new name for Sandra, the GM, basically yeah. The admin that she's playing as. Let's call her Lavoth. Lavoth the Incendiary. So Lavoth the Incendiary... is her new in-game character for her being an admin, which used to be the same character of a previous admin who is apparently kind of a dick but used to run the game, that Sandra has paid off in order to be able to take over some admin duties. So Sandra says to Mash/Fenor, so there's one more thing. Actually, the question is, does Sandra even know that you ended up becoming friends with Elfstar?
I think so. I feel like, didn't she see this happening and say, like,
we'll that's right.
Oh, no, wait.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, she didn't see the actual exchange of information, but I think Mash mentioned it.
Yeah, and she saw it in she saw it in your book and said, I'll deal with that later. So she says, Mash, I know this is going to hurt your feelings, but I think you can't talk to that person again. And I'm guessing that's going to be upsetting.
Oh, sorry. I have a question. How do vocal cords work in this? Like, would we have the same voices as we did when we were goblins? Or is this like now there's like a high elf voice module?
There's absolutely a high elf module that you could use, or you could choose to roll over your old voice. It's your choice.
All right, I'll see if I can do the high elf module. I assume that would be the default, and I wouldn't think to change it. So,
okay. So Sandra says to you, I think you need to remove that friend connection before we complete this process, so that they don't know that you switched characters. I'm assuming that's gonna be emotionally upsetting to you. I'll give you a foo point for it. That I will let you roll over. So I'll let you, I'll give you one more than the normal amount of bonuses that we would allow rollover if you somehow don't use it yet. But I'm assuming, would it be fair to say that you say like, okay, or something like that, but you're actually upset internally and don't really want to do it?
That sounds about right, yeah.
Okay. All right, and basically says, don't worry, I know it's upsetting. I'll do it for you. And beep, it disappears from your computer. And so now we'll deal with the fallout of that at a future time. But that happens. And Lavaoth/Sandra says, okay, and now this area is ours to create. I am going to push out a new update to all the people who played the game. And here's the first update. So basically, all of you end up seeing in the what you don't know what it means, but there's a what looks like a square with some lines on it, which Sandra explains is the news tab. If you open the news tab inside of your book, your fancy new gilded book, you'll see that there's a long post that says, earlier today, we got to the bottom of what happened with the forest that surrounded the city. There was a contractor going under the player name of Nihilus Pechthelm who decided to do some rogue installations of things inside of the game that were not approved by the other admins and has been banned from the server. However, we have some good news. We are now rolling out a new content update. The whole staticky area that was basically cut off ever since the last server loss is being reopened. It's not yet open for people to explore, but it will be soon after we finish creating content. I've hired and appointed 3 new excellent content creators to be able to help fill out that world, and we're very excited to be able to roll it out to our valued players. So that's the update, and you all get that. Sandra's basically like, okay, I guess we'll have to build this out. We're going to have to do this as basically our cover until we can figure out how to make it so that wherever your intelligence is that's stored on the system is able to actually leave the system. So you 3 are going to be my co-administrators and content creators that report to me until we get out this new content update.
So now we have to pretend that we're players, like admin players.
That's right. You have to play like you're pretend like you're admin players. But it's going to be a few days at least until this realm is open. So if you want to talk and learn how to be a more believable player by talking to Sandra, you have some time to learn those skills to hide some of that, basically, if that makes sense.
I think I would take her up on that because I am highly literate.
And so Wiga/Modwen, there's some good news. There's good news for all 3 of you here. Like, you're going to have, each one of you are going to be able to do the thing that you really like. Wiga/Modwen is going to be able to basically create entire new, basically sculpt all sorts of new terrain for this world, and including all of the forests and et cetera that are part of it, and all of the traps to attack the people who try to attack the wildlife. Gita/Kali, you are in charge of creating all of the new interesting items and weapons for the world.
Excellent.
And Mash/Funor, you are responsible for, yes, creating all of the new creatures that will populate it.
Excellent.
All right. So does anybody have any questions? I feel like we're pretty close to a good stopping point for this session. There's obviously a lot of interesting stuff to happen after this when you start building out the world and all of the interesting ramifications of that. But does anybody have any questions? And what do you think? Anything that anybody wants to do before we wrap up the session officially?
Can we ask Sandra to explain a little bit better what she doesn't want us to do? Because last time she's like, don't get into trouble.
Yes.
And we all very clearly got into trouble.
That's right. Sandra says, yes, I have taken a week of vacation time, and I plan on spending a bunch of it with you to try to talk to you and teach you how to basically be able to fit into this world better. And we have basically a week until we open this new part of the world for new content. And we don't have to open it all at once, but that's when other people have to interact with you again. So you basically have a week where only the 4 of you have to interact together.
Sounds wise.
Okay.
That's like a really long time.
Yes, I'm sorry. And I am going to request that you minimize your amount of participation on the forum just for the next week. Now, of course, whether or not you do, that's another story. But that's the request that Sandra is making of you all.
So not interacting with people, you mean?
Yes.
Not going to be a problem.
Okay. Yeah.
Can we teach Weka/Modwen how to write on a different program that's not the forum.
Yes. Sandra,
so she can keep working on her manifesto.
Sandra is more than pleased enough to do that. I have one more thing I'm going to say on Sandra's behalf. Well, actually, I'll just say it now. Sandra makes an off... Actually, everybody roll two die and take the best of two to see whether or not you manage to catch the significance of Sandra's offhand comment that she makes.
Four.
Six.
Okay. Gita/Kali and Mash/Fenor, you both hear this, but it doesn't really strike you as important. But Weka/Modwen, when you hear this, you immediately realize that Sandra is in serious trouble. Like, serious trouble. Serious trouble. She makes an offhand comment that, you know, I'm going to do my best to be able to be around here, but it's going to be difficult since I now need to be able to find a new place to live before anybody finds me. And that really hits home to you that Sandra is risking her life in some way to be able to help you, and is in trouble in some sort of way from the external world by having taken these steps. And you hear that, and it's disturbing to you as you hear it.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Anything else that anybody wants to conclude with before we wrap up this session, or should we get to the wrap up discussion? I'm not hearing anything, so I'm taking that as everybody is pretty happy with this being a stopping point. So, okay, I thought this was an amazing session. It far outpaced my expectations, even. I was really excited with how it went. I hope you all feel the same. I don't know. I'm really enjoying where this is going.
Yeah.
I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah. I feel like all of our different roles are actually really complementary, and it worked out really well.
Yeah, I agree. So is there anything that you thought went particularly well or was memorable, or anything that you think could go better if we end up doing this again? I mean, one thing I think that happened better from this than last time is that we remember to take a bathroom break. But anything else that was of note?
I really liked the way that Mash played to character.
Yes. Yes, very much so. Yes, absolutely. By the time this comes out, some other people will have already heard the other show that we've put out. If you listen to that, I think it's fair to say that Frankie is the Nick of this session, which is good. You're the fun source of chaos, which I appreciate. It adds a lot of entertainment. Anything else?
I'm really excited for Kate to potentially just pretend to be a tree when people approach her.
And then take her revenge on those that defile it.
Oh my god.
I'm also picturing just like you being various stages of Daphne from Greek mythology here. Like,
yes,
the woman turning into a tree, or just like merging back out to the extent that you want.
Yeah. I think there's a lot that I could do with this.
Okay, great. Anything else, or should we call it a wrap?
I think that's a good place to end.
Sounds like it to me too, then. All right. Well, thank you, Kate and Frankie, for joining Morgan and I on this session. It was such a delight having both of you on. I hope anybody who is listening to this enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed playing it. And see you all next time.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much.
Foss and Crafts is released under the Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 4.0 International License.
It's hosted by Morgan Lemmerweber and Christopher Lemmerweber.
The intro music is composed by Christopher Lemmerweber, meaning myself, in Milky Tracker, and is released under the same license as the show.
The outro music is Enchanted Tiki 86, composed by Alex Smith of the Cynic Project, and is waived into the public domain under CC0 1.0. See cynicmusic.com for more information.
You can get in contact with us on the Fediverse, Foss and Crafts at octodon.social, on Twitter as @FossandCrafts, or you can email us, podcast@fossandcrafts.org.
We also have a chat room. Join our community, #FossandCrafts, on irc.freenode.net.
If you'd like to support the show, you can donate at patreon.com/CWEBBER.
That's it for this week.
Until next time, stay free
and stay crafty.
I think I would take her up on that because I am, what is it, surprisingly intelligent? No, just highly illiterate. Or highly literate, not illiterate.